the Lord to be with us always. That is one reason why we come and worship together on the Lord's Day, because we want the Lord to be with us. And one great benefit of having the Lord as an influence in your life is that the Lord gives you victory over all the things of this world. And our lessons in the mornings for the past several weeks have been just about Jesus being the way for us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the scriptures that was read this morning said to you. Because He, Jesus, or the Spirit, has anointed me, Jesus. And He anointed Jesus to do a work on this planet, on this earth, with these people. And He called Jesus to come and preach the gospel to the poor. And Jesus came and He preached the gospel to the poor. He sent Him to heal the brokenhearted. He sent Jesus to proclaim liberty. He sent Jesus to recover the sight of the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and to open the eyes of the people. And today, that scripture is also being fulfilled. Because it never stopped the influence that Jesus has over His people. And we have tried to look at many ways in which Jesus is the way to many, many blessings, to victory. Jesus was the way to a better life. Jesus is the way to forgiveness. Jesus is the way to God the Father who is in heaven awaiting us. And Jesus is the way out of religious confusion that permeates the world that we live in. And Jesus is the way to eternal life. But you know, indeed, He is the source of every spiritual blessing. Because all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And we know that Jesus is the way, but how can you be sure? How can we all make certain that we are on the right way? That we're looking at the right Jesus? You know there's only one Lord. We know there's only one Jesus. But in a world filled with confusion and error, it is sometimes difficult for some people to actually know that they're following the right Jesus. And all the things that we've talked about, what Jesus provides for us, can only be provided if we are following the true Son of God. And so we want to be His disciples. And we want to be a people who are on the right way. But we need to know for sure. And we want to make sure that we underline and underscore and make it very clear that there is only one way of finding the right way to Jesus. Did you know that Jesus made it very clear to the Jews who were believing in Him that believing in Him was just not enough. And we need to understand this. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, it tells us that then Jesus said to those Jews who believed. What do you suppose Jesus said to those Jews? Did He say, "You believe in Me, it's all over. Just sit back, eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow I'm going to come and take you to heaven"? Did He say to you, "Just believe in Me and that's all there is to it. You don't have to remember anything that I've ever said. You don't have to follow in My footsteps. You don't have to live any special kind of life because My blood will save you past, present, and future if you believe in Me"? Or did Jesus say, "If you abide in My Word, you will be My disciples indeed"? How can we be sure that we're not actually following some facsimile of Jesus, some imposter of Jesus, some caricature, just drawn up by the influence of the human mind. Jesus is misrepresented in so many vile and disgusting and evil and blasphemous ways in this world that some people are following the wrong Jesus. The Bible tells us there's only one Lord, one Spirit, one faith. And yet in the world that we live in today, there are over 32,000 individually identified Christian-named faiths who are contradictory to one another on a daily basis. So how do we know? Sadly, there are places that people look to find Jesus and they'll never find Him. In Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 7, the Lord says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and the Lord will not hold you guiltless if you do." But listen, there are people, sadly, in this world that pervert so much of the image of Jesus that it would make you vomit. Listen, this is not Jesus. And yet the world sees this in a way that they think it's entertaining. This is not Jesus. This is not Jesus. This is not Jesus. And this is not Jesus of the Bible. These are perverted, humanistic versions of a Jesus. And when you think and see these images, it should draw you to disgust. And yet, there is a world full of people who claim to be Christians, followers and teachers and leaders of Christ who think otherwise. This image of Christ is supposedly from a movie where they put it out in front of a church. And this man says, "I think they put this in the church so when you walk in, Christ is pointing at you when you come for Mass and giving His thumbs up in approval. I think it's funny and not really disrespectful." I beg to differ. It is disrespectful. It is not funny. It is disgusting and vile. And, my friends, it is taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. And God will hold those people accountable. Let's look at what God had to say about this. "Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became fools in their futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were dark, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man." Listen, we need to make certain that we're following after the Jesus, the Son of God, the one and only. And we need to be careful that we don't become incorruptible or corruptible because of the world around us. You know, not speaking out truth concerning the biblical Jesus is leading cause for many people to fail in their faith, to follow a false image of the Lord, for many people to believe that you're saved by faith alone, for many people to believe that you can sin all your life and it's okay because of the blood of Christ is applied. Many people who believe you don't have to obey the Scripture in its entirety. You don't have to do what Jesus said because that in itself would be sin. Many people who teach false doctrines that are misleading the blind by the blind. We want to be sure that we're on that right way, that way to find the true Jesus. So we have to look at the only reliable source. Because the truth is, they became fools. Why did they become fools? Because of their own vain imaginations. Because they were a people who did not look to God and glorify God. They thought they were wise in their own eyes. And so they became fools. You know what the real source of the truth always will be? the Bible. The Bible is the source of truth. We must look to the Bible. We must look to the Word of God in order to find the right way to Jesus. One of the places we want to look is in the Old Testament. Did you know that the Old Testament contains over 300 prophecies about Jesus, about His coming, about what He's going to do when He got here, and about what He is doing right now? As stated by Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 24, He came and all things that were written were fulfilled, which were written in the law, Moses and the prophets, all and in the Psalms. Everything about Jesus was being fulfilled at His coming. He said that it was necessary for Christ to suffer, that repentance and sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. All this was prophesied before Jesus ever came. Read Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through following. Isaiah chapter 1, 1 and following. You read about the coming of the church. It's not an afterthought. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy tells us that Scripture, that Old Testament, imparted wisdom, and that from a childhood, those who knew the Scriptures were able to be saved by the same. The Old Testament teaches us clearly about Jesus. And when we see that, in Isaiah, for example, the birth of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 7, when King Ahaz is being spoken to by Isaiah, and he decides he will not test the Lord or ask the Lord of anything. And Isaiah turns and he says, "O house of David," he's now turning his attention to the house of David, to Israel. And he says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign." That sign wasn't given to King Ahaz. That sign was given to the house of Israel. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, we read the words, "A child is born." We're talking about Jesus, the coming of Jesus. "Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The increase of His government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it, establishment with justice, judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." You see, we read about Jesus. We read about His sovereignty. We read about His suffering. "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteem Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed." Listen, we see the suffering Jesus in the Old Testament, prophesied of His crucifixion upon that cross. And we find Jesus then in the Gospels. We need to look. The four Gospels are very similar in their goals. Matthew teaches and emphasizes the teaching of Jesus. Mark, the miracles. Luke underscores His humanity. And John stresses His divinity. You learn about Jesus by reading the Bible. And the goal is clearly expressed: to create faith. John wrote in his epistles that these things are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You see, it's all written there so that we can be learning about the true Jesus. Jesus taught that most will not attain heaven. That is contrary to the teaching of this world. This world, and I know from firsthand experience, will tell you that if you're in the backseat of a car and you say the words, "I believe in Jesus," you're saved and you're going to heaven and that's it. Do you know how many people do that? Many will be surprised on the judgment day, Jesus said, when they come to Him and say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will say to them, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He said, many will come to me on that day and they'll say, Lord, Lord. And they talk about all the wonderful things they've done. They prophesied in His name. They cast out demons and many wonders in the name of Jesus. And Jesus will declare to them, I never knew you. You know why He'll say that? Because they never knew Him. Because they didn't trust the very Word of God to know the true Jesus. And they follow the ways of men. They'll go to any church anywhere. The common teaching of how to find a church. You look this up online and you'll see what the world says. They say you go out and you find a church that makes you happy. Not a church that makes God happy. You find one that makes you happy. You find a church that suits your needs, that has the kind of music you like and the kind of entertainment you like and the kind of food and fun and frivolity that you like. And that's the church for you. But that's not what the Lord said. We need to do the will of the Father. Contrary to simple believism, many think that's involved in following Jesus. You know, Jesus taught something different. He says that we must, if anybody wants to come after Him, they need to deny themselves. We don't go looking for a church that pleases me. I'm not looking for a church that I like the music. I'm not looking for a church where I necessarily have to like the preacher. As long as what he's saying is true. I say that just in case. But, listen, you pick up your cross daily. Read your Bible every day. Do the will of the Lord every day. Follow me, Jesus said. Not the facsimiles and caricatures that you'll see on the internet and in many, many churches. That's how you'll save your life, by giving it up. Jesus expected His disciples to observe all things that He commanded them. And they went out and taught the same thing to us. We find Jesus in the book of Acts. And we see that through the book of Acts is a fulfillment of what Jesus said would take place. When we look at the book of Acts, we're seeing the work of the Holy Spirit that was promised to His disciples. Coming to fruition, guiding the apostles in the early infancy of the church. They were gathered together in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 4. They received that promise that God had made, that they would receive a comforter, a guide, the Holy Spirit. There was proof of that receiving. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the goal was to see and to understand that work of God through the Holy Spirit, through the apostles. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas were separated to the work because of the instruction of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 15, they were guided by all truth. So the Spirit was doing the work God had called it to do. And we see that promise. And we see Jesus and we see God through that. We find Jesus in the epistles to be received, the Scripture says, as if from Jesus Himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, the Apostle Paul said, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the words that I speak, they are the commandments of the Lord. You see, when we read the Bible, when we read this New Testament, Old Testament, we learn about Jesus. And we learn about things that Jesus commanded. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 13, the Scriptures tell us, Paul writes to this church, you know, he thanks God without ceasing that when they received the Word of God, they received it not as a word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. They were drinking in the very Word of God, that God-breathed commandments and Scriptures and encouragement daily. That Word that became something for us to read daily, to find the truth about Jesus.
And Jesus said that it should be that way. He who receives whoever I send, Jesus said, receives me. When you receive the Apostle Paul, you receive me. When you receive Peter, you receive me. When you receive the words, you receive me. You see? If you want to know the truth that will set you free, it's got to be through the Word of God. John 12:48 tells us that Word of God will be the thing that judges us in the last day. That Word of God is what instructs us in all wisdom. That Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth, the Scripture says. It says that He won't speak on His own. He doesn't speak on His own authority, that Holy Spirit. He only speaks what He hears. And He'll only tell you things that God has spoken. Teaching of Jesus and about the Jesus completely, fully, everything is completely revealed in the Scriptures. All things that pertain unto life and godliness, Peter said. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul said. Galatians, Paul said that even if we or an angel from heaven were to come and preach to you anything different, that they would be accursed. This is how and why we need to look to God's perfect Word. We have all that is needed to live godly lives. Right here in the Bible. I have a poster in my office on my desk that says, "What more do we need?" Sadly, in this world, many people think they need more. Many people think they need entertainment. I talked with a neighbor lady in Akron when I lived there, and she told me that I'm a Church of Christ preacher, she called me. I'm not a Church of Christ preacher, by the way. I'm just a preacher of the gospel. I'll preach the gospel in any church. But I'll only preach what God said. They may throw me out. But I'm a gospel preacher. But she said, "Those people in the Church of Christ, you guys don't have instruments, do you?" And I said, "No, ma'am, we don't." Before I could get another word out, she said, "You can't worship God without instruments." See, she's been confused, following the wrong Jesus. Because my Jesus, my Word, my God tells me to sing. That's what He said. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're going to sing to one another, all together, in unity, in unison. You see, our job in the Scriptures is simply to go to what was once for all delivered to the saints. That's what Jude said. We're going to contend earnestly for this Word of God that was once for all delivered to the saints. With the writing of the New Testament, we're able to see Jesus through completed eyes. We will know Jesus. We'll know the truth. We'll know what's being taught. To follow Jesus as the way, as He put it in John 14:6. To see Jesus in His completeness. Not just here upon the earth, but sitting at the right hand of God the Father, crowned with glory. And now that we know these things, we've looked at the Old Testament, we look at the New Testament, we look at the epistles of the book of Acts, and we know these things, we need to understand succinctly and clearly there is no more revelation. Having said all these things, there's one more thing that we need in order to find the right Jesus. And you know what that thing is? It's called obedience. It's called obedience to the faith. That's what we need. We need to obey Jesus. We have to abide in His Word, as He put it. If you abide in My Word, you're My disciples indeed. We need to believe, but then we need to obey. Jesus abides with us, the Scripture says, when we keep His commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, Jesus said. So obedience, keeping the word of God, is critical, it's crucial. Jesus said, anyone who loves me will keep my commandments. And now listen, and my Father. This is John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 21 through 23. He says in verse 23 that if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. Do you love Jesus? I know the answer for most of you is yes. And he said that when you do that, when you keep his word, that the Father will love you and will come to you and make his home or his abode with you. And I want you to get this imagery. It's a beautiful metaphor. When you keep the commandments of God, when you study his word and you apply the principles and practices, the oracles of God are coming out of you, then he comes and he abides with you. He makes his home with you. The Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit are in your heart. And there's no better thing to have in your heart. That's what happens when you find the right way to Jesus. And an illustration of that is simply in baptism. It's especially true that when we come to Jesus in faith and repentance, we need to submit ourselves according to his command, Mark 16 and 16, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. According to his command, we submit ourselves for the baptism that washes away our sins. Not for a baptism that's an outward sign of an inward grace. That's a different Jesus. It's a different Jesus. I was at a gas station buying gas on my way back home from California, and I met a man named Jesus. He sold me gas. It's not the Jesus, but his name was Jesus. There's only one that matters. When we are baptized, the Bible tells us we put on Christ. Galatians 3 and 27. When you're baptized into his death. Where was his blood shed? In death. Where do you got to go to contact the blood? In death. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, that many of us as we're baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. One baptism, the baptism that washes away your sins, Acts 22 and 16. That's a perfect example of our obedience to his commands. And what happens when you are baptized into Christ? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. We put on Christ in baptism and we become new. New what? A new creature. Old things are passed away because of the real, true, right way to Jesus. Old things are passed away and everything else becomes new. We find Jesus in our obedience. We find Jesus in the epistles. We find Jesus in the Gospels. We find Jesus in the Old Testament. But we don't find Jesus, or even the way to Jesus, from men's minds, from men's imaginations, from the plethora of churches with different doctrines and different ways. We find Jesus simply through the Scripture. That's how important it is to read the Scripture. All things are new for finding Jesus by keeping his command. We just need to keep his command. A better life, forgiveness of sins, a privilege of being in the Lord's church. Not in the Methodist church or the Baptist, by their own names they call them this. Or the Catholic or the Lutheran or the Wesleyan or the other 32,000 different names. But just in his church. The one he bought and paid for, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The one that his blood was shed to purchase. The one he promised to build. Just the one church.
It's a privilege. It's a privilege to say, I've obeyed the Lord and not man. I've obeyed and looked and sought for the one true Jesus. And as a result, assurance of eternal life. Have you truly found Jesus? You know, if you're heeding the Great Commission, we accept the power of the authority of God. Sola Scriptura. There's no other power. There's no other truth. The Scripture is the power of God unto salvation. No other way. And as a result, we're baptized into Christ. And then we're careful to observe all things that He commanded. I know that there are very many mature Christians here in the Bible study this morning. All I heard was mature Christians. I heard people expounding upon the lesson with Brother Randy teaching. I heard both men and women saying things that inspire me to look a little deeper. But I also know that there are oftentimes people who are, for a lack of a better term, don't use the Scriptures. They don't search daily. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the way of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. My friends, if you meditate on the words of Jesus day and night, you'll come to one conclusion. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do so today while you have time, before it's too late. Don't go back to some other place where people are following Jesus with all their hearts, very sincere people, but they're sincerely wrong because they simply don't accept His word as truth and authority. If you're a Christian and maybe you haven't been meditating on His Word day and night, maybe you have kind of set Him aside for other things and made some things more important in your life, maybe you've done something that's outside of His righteousness and you want to make that right, today's the day. Whatever your need is, the church is here to help. We love you. We care for your soul. And I invite you, if you have need, to come forward and sit in one of the front pews as we stand and sing.